right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
John, how are you?
Doing a little better than Zach Randolph.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
Not good news for Zach Randolph. As you guys pointed out as I sat down at the table, I'm wearing a Zach Randolph shirt, which I knew I was wearing a Zach Randolph shirt. I didn't realize it was so topical.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The breaking news.
Yeah. So you didn't put that on? You didn't like rush upstairs to put that on?
You know, I honestly can't remember whether or not I heard the Zeebo news, which is he was arrested.
Were you nude?
In Los Angeles.
Were you nude when you heard it?
Probably not. But, yeah.
You seem like a man who's, you know, there's never nudes.
Yeah.
You seem like you're perpetually clothed.
No,
I am more. Well, Chuck, you know that one time Chuck came in on the wrong day?
Mm-hmm. No, I forgot.
I was supposed to.
Yeah. And I was just sitting watching TV in my underwear.
Oh,
that's
yeah?
more me. Do you remember Reese Iffins from Notting Hill?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think the Hugh Grant roommate.
Yes.
Just all lanky and in underwear all the time.
I wish I could say no, but yes.
That's kind of me. That's kind of me on a regular day.
That's. I'm sure your wife finds that super sexy.
No.
I'm an established nudist.
She's the one who actually made that comparison to me first. She's like, has anyone ever told you? Kind of the roommate from Notting Hill. That's a reference for us plus 30-year-olds.
Chuck's more like the roommate from True Romance.
Yeah. John has multiple times tried to get me to see him naked.
And failed.
And failed because I was in the military, and those games, I can sniff them out from a mile away. When you share a bathroom with 60 guys for 6 weeks, you kind of know when somebody's about to show you their balls.
I was about
to say, Chuck's one of the only guys I ever know. One of the best things you can do is you enter a room naked and say, "Hey, guys, you see my big brown?" And Chuck never looks, ever.
Ever. I know.
Other guys, they look, and then they're like, "No, I can't believe I looked at you."
I mean, you're saying this six weeks in a bunk of guys, like, just I was in the marching band in high school.
Right.
Just by the time, by the time you're a, by the time you're like a senior at band camp, you also the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not. No, I understand.
No, I know you've got nuts. Thank you. Yes, they look
bat
like
wing,
a brain.
Turkey gobbler. Yeah, chewed gum.
Yeah.
We know all the euphemisms
map of Afghanistan. You know, those are all the things my balls have been said before I showed them to a man.
On a serious note, here's another one. You know, you spent too much time with guys. When a guy pulls you into a bathroom, it's like, "Look at this. What is this?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
like, all right, dude. You
God.
Gotta go. Get it swabbed.
I'm requesting an edit. First time ever. Censor that.
Well, I do stand with Zeebo. I feel bad for him. I don't know what the situation was. Chuck, you
busted in Watts.
You haven't heard the whole news. I mean, he was out hanging out in the street. Cops rolled up. People took off running. Apparently, is the report.
Yeah,
he did not take off and run because he knows better.
He's Zeebo.
He's Zeebo.
The article I read said a mob of people, which I'm just glad Phil Jackson didn't write it because he would have said posse.
Ooh. Coded language. No. There's a picture of him being released from jail. He looks happier than any human being ever. So yeah, I'm gonna say this is gonna be a great story that we will have fun following.
I want to know how many more kings were there and they just got away because they were fast and Zeebo got caught because he's the slowest man alive.
Yeah, his foot speed is what caught.
There was like a bale of hay in front of him and that he couldn't jump over and he was trapped.
Well, I also want to say I felt especially empathetic to him getting arrested this week. I've kind of been having an Ice Cube week.
Oh yeah,
I watched Big Three.
Love it.
I watched Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm actually, when you guys came in, I'm working my way through Friday for the first time.
That's Debo, not Zeebo.
I've never seen Friday. That was one of my movie blind spots.
Yeah.
That's a big blind spot.
My grandmama gave me that chain.
Yeah, I don't.
There have been Friday references on this podcast that you
multiple
didn't know.
Ones.
Yeah. I know a handful of ones that I know they're from Friday.
Just the word Craig. Is a Friday reference to me if you say a certain way.
On your day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also watching Straight Outta Compton, again, this is not surprising to people who know me. I knew so little of it. Like, I was on Wikipedia just reading about all these people. Like, I've heard these names, but I know nothing about them. When the movie ended, I was like, well, then what?
Then what happened?
Chuck and I were on some kind of road trip. I think it wasn't a
Memphis
trip.
No, it was a Memphis trip, and we got that hotel, and I was like, I'm not watching Straight Outta Compton.
I remember you telling the story.
It was the best.
Yeah.
He was fierce. He's like, I like real hip-hop. I don't need no movie telling me what happened. And we turn on after that first scene where they crash the tank into the house.
The battering.
Chuck's like, it's probably one of the best movies I've ever seen. And then
that movie Notorious they made about Biggie was just the worst. It made me hate his legacy, which was sad.
Apparently, the new Tupac movie, even worse.
Really? Yeah, I knew it was going to be bad. But yeah, Straight Outta Compton, you know, it was incredible. So yeah, welcome to. And then we walked downstairs. And Keith's like 45 minutes from finishing Friday. It's the scene where John Witherspoon and Ice Cube are having that talk where the father's telling the son, use your hands, don't use a gun.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to get an ass whooping. And that was the bit. That was a huge like lesson for me as a kid. Don't be afraid to get your ass whooped. And I've been getting my ass whooped ever since.
It seemed like you learned it well.
We paused it. I paused the movie again. In that scene, it was a very nice, a lot of pathos, very like a good, I guess the rest of the movie so far, kind of broad. Kind of
in Straight Outta Compton, you get to watch. I think him and his, what is it, DJ Pooh?
Mm-hmm. DJ
Pooh.
They
wrote that together.
Yeah, and that was
that's
Red.
The toughest DJ name ever.
Well, I felt like Straight Outta Compton. It's like I was watching like a Star Wars prequel where they're dropping a lot of references that I feel like that should mean something to me, but it doesn't.
This is probably inaccurate, but does DJ Pooh look like CJ McCollum?
A little bit, a little bit of like CJ McCollum. A little bit of like a. Light-skinned Otis Thorpe, you know?
Oh, God.
Yeah. They're not a good-looking guy. Head. It's Red from the guy who got his bike stolen and got knocked the boop out.
Yeah.
By Debo. Yeah, that's DJ Pooh.
What are you going to name your new label? Aftermath. Does that mean... that didn't mean anything to me.
Because there's no coming back
like,
after that.
Like roll credits. So like, yeah. Oh.
It's like the
big, is that important?
Probably the biggest rap label of the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did throw in a little thing about Beats by Dre. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's get to our...
are we going to talk about basketball?
Have you seen that...
Chuck, it's August. That's unusual coming from your mouth.
What's the name of that terrible? The Defiant Ones?
Oh, I love that documentary. Yeah,
oh, the documentary is no good?
It is.
I've only heard good things.
It is a long con...
Beats by Dre commercial.
Advertisement.
It really is.
Also, Chuck told me this, and you're not the only person who told me this. Like, it made me feel like I need to work a lot harder. Man, I watched that and I just went, those are the two dumbest, luckiest men alive.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well,
might need to bleep that out.
Yeah.
Jimmy Iovine is white.
Yeah.
I can say whatever I want this time.
Well, I mean, Iovine was in the studio with Springsteen for weeks and like stuck to something when he wanted to quit. And I can feel that because I want to quit this podcast like weekly.
Jimmy Iovine wanted to leave early every day.
He did. He wanted to go home home at 5 o'clock.
Well, let's get to our breakfast before we get to some basketball. We are going to talk about basketball. We are answering bunch of our, well, not entirely 100% basketball. We are answering questions from our Patreon supporters. The return of the questionnaire.
We've really, put ourselves into a corner with this, breakfast pun-themed segments. I think we've run out of everything.
No chance.
Never will.
I feel like we keep coming up with them.
What we should do is ask the internet for names of segments.
I'm ready.
Segments.
Here we go. If you want to eat some sausages, off season awful. I can do this forever.
Speaking of breakfast, what do we have? Do we have a chance to eat breakfast today?
Yeah, your boy, the Burger King on Gallatin Road in East Nashville, where I live.
Shout out!
Finally opened back up.
It was closed?
For a while. For like months.
Did not know that. I've never been to that Burger King.
Yeah, I didn't go. I've never been inside since they renovated it, but they renovated it. Finally open. That's my on the way to Keith's, about to jump in on the highway, grab a little sandwich.
What do? You chicken sandwich, man?
Nah, dude. Well, I do for lunch, but I was eating breakfast today.
That's a good sandwich.
I had two loaded croissant-witches.
Oh, I forgot those existed. They're amazing.
So great. The buttery croissant. Speaking of croissant for this episode is actually quite on brand, but I had two of those, sausage, cheese, bacon, egg, and a fluffy buttery croissant, and it was incredible.
Sounds wonderful.
I love fast food.
You're tying it all together with that croissant.
Mm-hmm.
That chicken sandwich though, you gotta let that sucker sit
the OGC
too hot,
the original gangster
it will
chicken
spray like hot acid oil on you.
So I've learned, because I eat a lot of 2 for $5 original chicken sandwiches.
They're great.
The OCS.
The ones that are oblong.
Long. They're like, they look like a sub length.
Yeah.
So,
like mayonnaised to hail.
McRib length?
It's mostly mayonnaise. Yeah.
Longer than a McRib.
Longer than a McRib, a little skinnier, but it's been on their menu forever and it's incredible.
It's wonderful.
But you have to be careful because if it comes right out of the fryer, it will scald your mouth for weeks. It will rip your first 3 layers of skin off your tongue.
No one's done that McDonald's coffee trick on that?
I don't know. But sometimes if you're waiting a while for your chicken, you should eat, because I always get two. Feel the temperatures of the chicken is a little tip. Make sure you go with the cooler one first because you'll burn your face off.
Aren't humans the only animal that'll put something that will injure them, like... Like, if a dog came up to a burning hot sandwich, it would not put it in its mouth.
Right.
I might be wrong here, but...
I mean, I've seen my dog...
I know dogs will eat things that will kill them. Chocolate.
Of course. But they don't know. They don't know any better. They're just dogs. But no,
you guys bored me. Sorry.
Yeah, John just went and checked his bookie.
Woo, that was accurate.
John, what'd you have for your breakfast?
Damn. Nitrous. Not really, but I went to the dentist. I need some dental, like... I need to talk to your father-in-law, Keith.
Okay.
Because my dentist today tried to tell me he needed to redo some fillings in my mouth.
Okay.
I don't have any fillings in my mouth. What was that?
He thinks you have fillings and you don't?
I don't have any.
Was this after an x-ray?
No, I guess it was. Cause that's when you go in and you bite down, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He just comes in, he's like, I just want to redo those two fillings. And like I like close my mouth almost on his hands. I'm like... Are you sure you're in the right room? And he goes, yeah, I just want to redo those fillings. I was like, I don't have any fillings. And he kind of laughed. And then I was like, no, I don't have, no cavities. I've never had a cavity. And he was like, oh, let me go check real quick. Goes away. Never comes back. The hygienist comes in and like just kind of like pretends it never happened. Now I'm all freaked out. Is my dentist weird?
Man, you gotta look up check out his Yelp.
Yeah.
Or was it Angie's List?
East Side Smiles. You know this one, Chuck?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
This is the guy who like tries to talk to me about Bonnaroo.
What if you gross. Do? Here's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
What
Secret
if you,
fillings?
What if you have fillings?
Oh, my God.
And no one ever told you.
What if you were abducted by aliens in your sleep? Then they did practical root canal work on your mouth.
Through my butt.
Through your butt. And they gave you fillings. And like they were like, this human being needs help.
What if you had fillings when you were a kid and your parents were just like, nope, you have no cavities. Good job, little boy.
I would remember that.
Good job, little John.
I've never had a cavity either.
I had to have my tooth extracted. And then last year I had my jaw set again. And man, that stuff hurts horribly.
I don't even know what that
means. That thing they give you to numb the pain, the Novocaine, that needle that they stick in... It's so painful. I don't think any pain. You don't have to worry about it.
I didn't have any cavities until I was an adult. Until I could have unfettered access to candy.
Right. Mm.
So.
Yeah, I still. I'm 33.
It was the father. The father-in-law was the first to ever give me the fillings with the cavities. Yeah.
You got to have that fluoride in your water.
Yeah, it'll do you good.
Precious bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
My breakfast. I had a disaster.
Uh-oh.
Of a breakfast.
What do you do?
So my brother and his family were visiting a couple weeks ago. They live in Germany. They were in the States for a few weeks. They stayed with me for a few nights. They left some of the stuff, you know, like they were traveling. They were flying back to Germany. So they left some things. Like, we're not taking this
like
on the plane.
Like schnitzels.
There's no reason. They left a package of what to me looked like a delicious dessert treat. It was some kind of muffin stuffed with chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this looks amazing. I'm going to save this. You know, I'll make this for when I need it one morning.
For a podcast, so you have content.
For a podcast content. Open it up. And again, I'm telling you, it looks like a Twinkie, but with chocolate on the inside.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this looks incredible. Breakfast of Champions. Open up the bag. I'm like, whoa.
This is making me feel sick.
This smells like glue.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, that's kind of weird. Didn't slow me down, much like a human being that will put a burning slice of pizza in his mouth. I'm like, oh, this smells terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in my mouth. Yeah, it tastes like paint.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was just like, one, my questions, has this gone bad? Two, is this stuff Europeans like to eat?
is this just the way their mouths work?
Is this the way a European mouth works?
What's that word that starts with an F that you like, it goes on cake?
Frosting?
No. Like the hard things that you usually don't eat. It's all decorative. Maybe fondant? Is that it?
Fondant.
Oh, is that? I don't know.
Maybe you ate something decorative.
Was it just a packer of decorative things?
Yeah. Maybe that you put that on a cake or something.
It was horrifying. So I have put something that tastes like paint or glue in my mouth. I spit it out. Like I brush my teeth, try to get out of there. Still kind of got like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Horrifying.
Yak in the back. It's like drinking Malort.
So yeah.
Ew.
If you drink Malort and you don't do something to wash it out immediately after you drink it, you taste it for the rest of the day.
Mm. Yep. So those were our... That is not good. Those were our breakfast. We're going to do a quick breakfast in bed apology. We made a joke last week. Well, Chuck was talking about how we wouldn't trade Kyrie to the Heat and David Griffin wouldn't be
I meant
involved.
Dave Gilbert.
He meant it, whatever.
He meant Peter Griffin.
But obviously, David Griffin is not still with the Cavs. We know that. Right, but we had a lot of fun with wordplay afterwards.
I liked the Griffin thing. It was Dan Gilbert, DG, David Griffin. Like, my brain. It was early.
So yeah.
We can do it with Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
We can play Gilbert games.
Yeah,
Melissa Gilbert.
What's eating Gilbert Grape?
Gilbert Gottfried?
Kendall
Gilbert?
Gilbert Gottfried did something bad, too, I shouldn't say out loud.
Oh, what did he do?
He said some very...
His aristocrats joke is probably my favorite. Have you ever seen that?
You ever hear his like regular speaking voice? Yeah. It's like unsettling because it's so like mellifluous and beautiful.
It is. He's very like well-spoken. Comedian.
Let's get out of this.
Good Lord.
And that was our breakfast in bed apology. All right, before we get to our croissant questionnaire, I remind you, if you want to have your questions included on a future episode or in a future mailbag segment, you can do that by going to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast and supporting the show. Also, a reminder, in this summer months, August, probably September, if you write an iTunes review 5 stars, we will give you a shout out and read it on air. And we have a couple of reviews to read for you right now.
Roots Rock and Roll Madness by Kuv G. Okay, my name is Wesley Rock. I take credit for inventing the phrase "do the math" and "it is what it is." Currently, I manage a Roots Rock and Roll band called Do the Dishes. Here's a messed up situation. We were booked to open a show last week. Okay, so far so good, etc., etc. Except now, for the messed up part, the headliner was a Do the Dishes tribute band. Yes, we were opening for our own cover band. How effed up is that? Anyway, in the midst of my frustration, I can always get some laughs from Keith and the boys. They are the Encyclopedia Britannica of NBA action. 5 stars plus, plus, plus. I'm sorry, but I just felt in the middle of that I had to put an accent on.
It's fine. It was rootsy.
Thank you, Kuv G.
Breakfast is the most important thing. 5 stars by Maddie B's 25. I'm obsessed with basketball. However, I am not always looking to wear a shirt and tie during my consumption of this great sport. This podcast provides me an opportunity not to wear a shirt, enjoy a greasy meal in a drive-thru, have some laughs, and still consume quality NBA coverage. The Breakfast Talk is also top-notch. If you don't subscribe, you're a loser. Period.
Thank you, Maddie B's 25 at 25, a Chandler Parsons tribute, I assume.
Absolutely.
Derek Rose, perhaps. All right, well, thanks for those reviews. Again, if you write a 5-star iTunes review, it obviously helps our show out, raises us up in higher prominence on iTunes or something. I've heard of this. I don't know this data.
This is, maybe a old wives' tale.
I think it's an agreed-upon lie.
Mm-hmm. It's Yellow 5.
Yeah. We don't have the power of the ESPN networks behind us boosting our rankings.
Right. So thank you to those who do that.
If you see us in the top 20, that means we've been busting our
ass. That means like 17 other podcasts got the axe again.
Hey, also shout out to us outlasting True Hoop TBA twice now.
Ooh, we own you, ESPN.
Have some of that.
All right.
What kind of name is Henry Abbott? Some stupid sign the Declaration of Independence crap right there. Get a real name, son.
Abbott and Costello.
So write us a 5-star review, and we will give you a shout-out.
Shall we begin?
I think we should.
Yes, John, give us some questions from listeners.
Our first question comes from Vincenzo Novelli. Thoughts on the potential Lonzo D'Angelo backcourt? Hey, this question... Might be from a while back.
Sorry. This
here's my thoughts.
This should be prefaced with this question's from May. Because he said, go on and read
I
the whole...
I just thought it was fun.
Go on and read the whole question.
There. Related. D'Angelo would never be good in L.A. because he's a club rat / JV Kardashian, right?
I think Vince nailed it.
That's it. Answered his own question.
Yeah. No more to say there. Yes. The Lonzo D'Angelo backcourt will not work in L.A.
Yeah. And everybody knows, man, with the big baller brand, you got to stay loyal. You can't have no loose lips sinking ships.
No.
You know? Because when daddy
I'm not
ball
sure,
goes
I'm
out...
I'm sure D'Angelo stayed in his lane very often.
I don't think he knew how. So, bye-bye, D-Lo. It was good knowing you.
Now we turn to Patrick Kirchner. At this point, the list of role players that LeBron has dragged into an NBA Finals appearance is really long. Who's your favorite out of that bunch?
I'm sorry. James Jones dragged LeBron to 6 finals, you guys.
7 straight finals.
7 straight finals.
I desperately wanted to say Delonte West, but I don't think he ever made the finals.
I'm not sure if he did or not.
I think he only made...
I feel like he did.
I think they lost to the Magic.
In 08?
Yeah. I think he was there like right after their last finals appearance.
Hmm. Interesting.
When they got swept.
When they got swept.
We'll stall while Keith looks it up.
Yeah.
But, if he did make the finals, it will be Delonte West. If he didn't, which I'm pretty sure he didn't. I mean, I love Sasha Pavlovic.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Della
sleepy faced. I like the old Cavs guys because those teams were so bad.
They were really bad. Yeah.
I like sleepy faced Danielle Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Mo Williams was probably the best player that LeBron took. That was
except for Infarmer. Eric Snow.
Eric Snow.
A licky boom boom down. I got to go with the best name of the bunch, though.
Hmm.
Booby Gibson.
Booby.
I was thinking Booby. My favorite, is Mike Miller. I don't know how I'm supposed to answer the question. Like, is it the most funny who did not deserve to be in the finals?
It's your favorite, man.
But if it's my favorite role player, maybe the word dragged implies maybe he's not supposed to be there.
Well, he has something in ellipses afterward.
Actually, those are
postscript. Are those yours?
Those are editor notes.
Ah. Or who should be the most grateful? That's what Keith's.
So I think like a Booby Gibson.
Yeah, it was probably the most grateful. Probably my favorite, role player though, with Dellavedova in the finals, where the Warriors won the first year against.
I don't think
Cavs.
Anybody's ever said they liked Dellavedova.
He's just such a shithead.
Yeah.
I mean, like a bad,
he's
like
a dirty dude, player.
Dirty player. And it
he's
was
Australian.
Just fun to watch him.
He's a penal colonist.
He's a penal colonist.
Did you ever figure it out, Keith?
I'm actually having a lot of trouble going through Basketball Reference like manually. He was on Cleveland in 08, 09, oh, 10, and 10.
And he was gone. He was a Maverick, right? After that.
No, they didn't make the 2010, didn't make the list. They lost to the Celtics.
Yeah, they ran into the Celtics and the Magic. I don't think he made it.
All right.
I would remember Delonte West in the finals.
Yeah, I don't think he was in.
But never forget.
But we'll have something to apologize for if we don't.
He did it to LeBron's mom. Next question from Damon. Do you really think LeBron would leave the Eastern Conference?
If he was smart, he would never leave the Eastern Conference. I don't know if he is a smart person.
Seems pretty smart.
Here's the thing. He might go to he would have to go west to be for sure on a team that was better than the Warriors.
Right.
And I think the only way that happens is if you get like a mini banana boat reunion next year, right? If Melo ends up in Houston.
Oh, in Houston. Okay.
Right? You got Chris Paul, Melo.
That makes sense.
And then Wade and LeBron come in for the vet minimum. And they just come in and that would probably be, and even next year, I don't know if they beat the Warriors, but that would be like the super team he would have.
I know
to
that team
go to
wouldn't
the
be terrible, but in my head, it seems terrible.
Right. Like, and to me, it's like if Wade's a role player, if Chris Paul's still good, if Harden's playing at his level, even with all those other guys, that's like the only thing I could see stopping the Warriors in the West. And
I still like this Lakers thing.
Is this asking me if I think it's probable or just... Will, do you really think
you got to remember this
believe?
Is Damon Rangula, so
he's
this
a Lakers
is coming
fan.
From psychosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants
like
to know.
Real Lakers extremism.
I will say yes.
It's a fundamentalist.
I guess possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess, do I really? I don't know. Probable? I don't know.
I don't see him going to any other team other than like a super team that could compete.
Lakers.
I mean, maybe he goes to San Antonio for a minimum, plays with Pop.
To play with Rudy Gay and Pau Gasol's corpse.
Right, and be like, he, Like, imagine the fun Popovich would have with LeBron in his lineups, and like the kind of like,
I mean, LeBron Kawhi together would just be insane.
Good. So
you just did some foreshadowing for a later query.
So okay. I could see him going, but if he's trying to get paid, if he's trying to be a $28 to $30 million player, which is why he, spearheaded the CBA talks with Chris Paul. He's gonna, unless he wants to be a guy that takes a minimum salary, I can't see him leaving the East.
This all-star players taking minimum salaries. It feels wrong. I know there's some talk of Paul George maybe doing it next year.
I blame David West.
Yeah.
From Feeling, Minnesota, should the Celtics max tiny little Isaiah Thomas and his tiny injured hip with a contract of which the majority will be played out on the wrong side of 30?
No.
Oh, there's one.
Is that simple enough? They should not sign him to like a 4-year, $150 million. I don't think they're going to have to, but they might.
There's no there's just no precedent for him. Like Iverson, I guess, would be the only guy.
Tiny Archibald.
Yeah, but
no,
like,
I would say
smaller players don't tend to last well and age well.
Derrick Rose.
There's also no precedent for a guy who blew up, who's this small and then blew up 5 years into his career. I'm not sure how many years we are into his career.
Right.
But like all of a sudden approaching this 30 points per game on incredible efficiency. The hip thing is the big question.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know if he's good. We don't know if he's good right now. Like, yeah, as we talk in the middle of August.
Is he Allen Iverson or is he Goran Dragic who had that one amazing year?
Goran Dragic has bounced back once he got that cancer Dwayne Wade off his team.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Sleeper cell.
Agent. But here's another query since I'm not sure how to answer this question. Every time I think a contract is terrible, I turn around and 5 years later, it's wonderful. Does that apply to max contracts, however?
I think it depends. I think if you look at the boon of contracts a couple years ago that we thought were all like vaguely decent contracts, a lot of them don't look good anymore.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it might be over. I think salary cap is going to be tight again. Everyone's already writing their articles about the 2018 free agents getting screwed on the open market, not going to have a lot of money for them. So
in summation, Mr. Minnesota, Mr. Sweet, sweet, sweet Keanu reference. No. We'll come back to Mr. Minnesota. Let's do, here we go. From Sam Wilkinson. Other than Chandler Parsons, naturally, who is your least favorite NBA player and why? Keith, let's start with you.
I feel like we've talked about this a lot. My least favorite NBA player is still Blake Griffin.
Mm.
His on-court antics, his sideline bro activity, kind of joking frat bro thing, rubs
like
me wrong.
Not an Optima
and
guy.
His just the way he, something about his demeanor on the court with the flopping, with the whining, with the complaining. I feel like Chris Paul obviously led that charge with the with the Clippers and Doc Rivers, but I feel like Blake Griffin was equal in that transgression.
Yeah.
And maybe it's also just the Grizzlies fan in me. Blake Griffin, least favorite player.
Chuckles. Can't say LeBron either.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, your least favorite player?
So here's the thing. Like, even when he was with the Heat, I kind of like always...
He's the greatest player in Heat history.
This is shocking.
No, it's just like...
You got to turn in... You and Ethan Skolnick got to turn in your Heat cards.
Oh, dear God.
Shout out.
What happened?
What happened?
Battery arrest or something?
Yeah,
does battery, like, mean... Does that denote what sex it was you beat?
No.
You just beat up some guy.
I think assault is you say things, and battery is you do things.
Oh, you hit him.
Yeah, so he hit somebody.
But there was no domestic in there, which implies
right.
relationship.
Whatever, who cares? He was probably drunk. He looked hungover in his mugshot. For a long time,
you'd be a great jury
I
member.
Always
whatever.
Saw...
Whatever, he's probably drunk.
Probably
who cares?
Drunk.
Not guilty.
For a long time, I secretly stewed against Dwayne Wade, only because he's a crybaby of when he doesn't get calls, doesn't hustle back on defense, never worked on his shot. To give himself a real 3-point threat, even when he was with LeBron for 4 years, never really developed a shot that would have helped that offense tremendously. He dresses like a complete douchebag. was patient zero for all of these awful outfits the NBA players have now been wearing. More than anything, I think he gave a few women VD. which is something even I wouldn't do.
This is getting dark, Chuck.
Yeah, like,
this is a personal crisis.
It's an easy thing for me to point at Dwayne Wade and go, what an asshole.
Is this just scorned? I feel like you're just
I'm a little scorned.
Heat fan.
Would you be saying this if he was still on the Heat?
You know,
the answer is no.
I probably wouldn't. But my the reality is when LeBron was getting all this hatred and flack, like when he was in Miami, I always thought that the easier person to hate was Dwayne Wade, and why wasn't he that person?
He won you three titles.
He's big. He's three. I get it.
You would have zero titles if it wasn't for Dwayne Wade.
I get that. However, it doesn't mean that I can't.
How is there a however?
Have disdain
your
for
least
his
favorite player in the NBA
is a guy who gave
is
me
the
three.
Guy who single handedly gave your favorite team championship.
Right, because he acts like a douchebag.
Single handedly,
he doesn't. He doesn't.
When I say single handedly, I mean with. If there's no Dwayne Wade, there are no Miami championships.
I get that. And also if there's no Bennett Salvatore. But the fact of the matter is that the guy's behavior makes me not like him. And it even bothered me when he was a Heat player.
This is
silent suffering
this
finally
is
being
where
let out.
You hate those the person closest to you who's betrayed you.
How do you feel about
your
ex-wife?
You're going to hate more. So
when I was in a relationship with Dwayne Wade, I didn't focus on this stuff as much, but I noticed it and it bothered me, but I didn't talk about
it. In retrospect,
now I'm looking
understand.
Back and going, man, he was a real POS.
Mm-hmm.
John, who's your least favorite player? Paul Pierce is retired.
I know, but there's an heir to the throne. And I didn't even have to look very far because Marcus Smart is right there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you hate him? I find that curious.
I've hated him since college. He's like flopping, dirty player,
okay.
Whiny, just, you know, unpleasant to look at also. That always helps. Although sometimes when they're like beautiful, that's hard. That makes, because like Kobe Bryant's a pretty good looking guy. I hated him. But I had to be like, and he's really good looking too. Chandler Parsons, that sucks that he's so good looking. So I could go through the good looking players, but I'm struggling to think of some right now because you got to remember basketball is a game played by freaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Almost all of them have like some form of giganticism. Mm-hmm.
What's our next question?
I'm not done hating yet.
Oh, you're not done? Still Marcus Smart? Or you got more you want to add in?
Yeah. Let's say since Marcus Smart's probably, you know, a lot of people dislike him. Let me get into some guys that maybe most people like that I don't like. I've never liked Dirk Nowitzki.
It's racist.
I guess.
I think. Yeah. I
love Dirk.
Shut it down.
That's the greatest moment in Dirk history.
I do
for
think
me.
He's like.
How's that not lovable?
I do like in hindsight respect his championship in 2011. Severely, he was at one point the best.
I mean, he's just a
thing in the NBA.
He's like, a sweet shooting, gangly, lanky big man
that can.
You
play
watch his YouTube
D.
videos of him playing softball and soccer, and they're amazing.
Yeah,
I just feel
I
like,
love Dirk. So what's your distaste?
I feel like he's a stupid person. Like when I interviews with him,
because he got catfished.
Oh, well, that was the cherry on the stupid sundae. But every interview I see with him, I'm like, man, this guy is stupid.
Well, he's also
a stupid, stupid man.
When he's also speaking his
he's
second
speaking
language.
Speaking a second language.
And, you know, like German humor.
Yeah, but when you hear,
different.
Like, the Gasols speak English, you're like, good Lord, they make it sound
they
good.
Were really
those
well.
Are beautiful Hispanic dudes.
Dirk Nowitzki sounds like the Swedish chef or something. Like when I look at his stupid face saying those stupid things, I'm just like, oh, man.
That really is funny.
What a goofus. Yeah, that's a weird one.
Is there someone else beloved that you hate?
Another guy? Well, I feel like Dirk's the most beloved. Like, everyone
that's
likes
surprising.
Dirk, right?
Yeah, everyone likes him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't like Melty Face Steve Nash either, so maybe this was like a Mavs-Suns thing.
White MVP thing.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Mm. That Nash MVP still chaps my ass.
I always will think that is it's the Charles Barkley MVP.
I don't know.
Of the 2000s.
Karl Malone MVP, maybe?
I don't think Charles Barkley deserved that MVP that year.
I mean, it was a Jordan. Those were both Jordan fatigue.
Yeah but Nash didn't have Jordan. I guess, do you have LeBron? What fatigue did we
Nash,
have?
It was Shaq fatigue.
I still think
Nash is one of those interesting arguments.
Both Nash and Nowitzki are awesome players.
If we can jump ahead to a thing I wanted to do based on things people were talking about on Twitter that's mm-hmm. close to our hearts. I feel like the Nash MVP is very similar to the DeMarcus Cousins or Nikola Jokic debate.
Ah.
Because I feel like you have a problem looking at Nash's MVP being like, if this guy was playing one-on-one, lots of guys in the NBA destroy at the time him. Of Nash right. would have destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
However, the other argument is, but this guy's a catalyst for historic offenses, and he makes his offenses go, and he's putting up these awesome, efficient numbers. Is that more valuable?
Right.
And again, it comes to whatever your definition of MVP is, which again is purely undefined. And so
the thing about Melty Face that made him kind of unassailable is he's also one of the best shooters ever, too.
Right.
So you couldn't just say he just made offenses click with his passing, you know, he needed people around him. Because, no, he could kill you with his three-point
shooting.
But
it was both, obviously. He put up, like, the 50-40-90 little stat lines.
Which I believe Dirk also did. So then, maybe I just really hate 50-40-90 guys.
And Myers Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So bring it to what do you guys think on... The question was debated on Twitter. James Holis, who was on the podcast earlier this week, you know, he was arguing like Boogie Cousins is better. And a lot of it comes to what your definition of better is. So like for you guys, do you think DeMarcus Cousins or Nikola Jokic is better like right now?
Boogie.
Jokic.
Boogie.
And so Jokic.
Jokic.
Why do you say Boogie, Chuck? I think that's the more commonly held opinion.
Yeah, I just think he's got the resume and the years of evidence where I've seen him dominate against big men.
What's
the resume?
You know, the points per game and you know.
That's
the,
it.
Well, I mean, you know. Yeah, the dumb empty stats that I'm sure, like, we can tear apart the efficiency of Boogie
and we
compare
shall.
Jokic's numbers to his. But the eye test... is one of the things that I think are very important in the NBA.
If they're playing one-on-one,
I don't
think DeMarcus kills him.
Murders him.
Yes.
If we're talking about skills from a big man, offensive skills from a big man, DeMarcus Cousins may be the best center ever?
I mean, he's...
Although Jokic did make LeBron look like a fool at one time.
Yeah, but that was on like a 6-foot turnaround putt. But again, so for me, it comes back to the... I think I made this argument before a couple times. I can't imagine any great player being in the NBA for 7 years and never winning 35 games. Like DeMarcus Cousins, if you're saying yes, he was in a terrible situation, multiple coaches, bad teammates. I think how bad his teammates were has been overstated some. Imagine they had NBA 2K ratings and say like Boogie's a 95 and Jokic is 85 or something. Mm-hmm. But you only get 95 out of Boogie 80% of the time, but you get 85 out of Jokic 100% of the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know what's better.
I have softened on Boogie as a player and person, and I still would say Jokic pretty easily just because even like me saying, well, Boogie's gotten better as a player and doesn't seem quite as cancerous, although he did get traded for, you know, pennies on the dollar recently.
Right.
I mean, there's just a chance that, you know, Boogie's never going to be the type of guy who gets his team into the playoffs and stuff.
Which makes him bad.
Right. Although, you know, Jokic, we're in the same... But Jokic seems to be on the rise.
Boogie was in what is probably one of the worst run franchises in all of sports.
Yes.
Was there for a long time. We don't know if his, you know, disgruntled nature is a byproduct of the dysfunction in the organization. Then he was traded to a team that had nothing outside of Anthony Davis. I think we're a little too soon to call Boogie a bust if we don't see him on a team in the most stacked conference that any of us can remember. The West has never been tougher.
At some point,
Jokic also plays in the West.
At some point, if we keep having this, is it the chicken or the egg with Boogie? Like,
right?
And you could
if
say
we have it his whole career. It's tough.
You could say some of the same things about the Nuggets in that franchise as well. So. I mean,
there's no way the Nuggets have a worse run organization than the Kings.
They're run very poorly.
I mean, they do very poor things.
The Kings are
changed their jerseys to the Michigan Wolverines Navy.
Brutal. Brutal jersey change.
That's awful.
What are you?
They should have a jersey episode.
What are you doing?
All right. Chuck, elephant in the room. Hey. I think this listener's name is Keith Parrish.
Okay.
Hey. I heard Chuck say Kyrie was top 5 in the NBA. What did he mean to say?
I meant that.
Hold on. Okay. And now we're going to let you backpedal a little bit. We know Kyrie is back to feeling Minnesota. We know Kyrie is massively overrated by Chuck, but for Keith and John, and we're going to throw Chuck back in here, is Kyrie underrated, overrated, or properly rated? Chuck,
and Feeling Minnesota also adds, where does Chuck rank Kyrie Irving? So lots of Kyrie questions, Chuck. So where you got him?
This is your chance to have your.
This is my wonderful opportunity to display my new line of thought, which is the Schrodinger opinion. Right,
Schrodinger's Kyrie.
Schrodinger's Kyrie. Basically, if Kyrie stays on the Cavs, he is an awful player, not a top five point guard. If he comes to Miami, he's the best point guard in the league by a mile. I can hold both of those positions.
Is he simultaneously alive and dead?
He is both alive and dead. I can hold both of those positions. Kyrie, at times, will blow your mind on offense and also make you ridiculously frustrated on defense. That puts him in the top five point guard category in the league for me. There's very few players I would rather have with the ball in their hands at the end of a game than Kyrie Irving, and that's where I stand on his...
So he has revised to top five point guard.
So you meant to say top five point guard.
I think he's a top five point guard.
I believe and forgive you.
In a point guard-like glut, like it's the most like bountiful point guard crop that has existed and since I can remember in the past 20-something years.
Keith?
The question being, is he underrated, overrated, or properly rated?
Yes.
See, I don't. That's really hard.
We live in an era where I don't know how he is rated.
Exactly. It seems like
there's your Schrodinger's cat. He could be all of those.
Right. He's a guy NBA players always cite as being like one of the best players in the league, and I always take that as like, huh? It seems NBA players a lot of the times really value a player who can make a contested shot or score on their own and make hard shots a lot. So he's really good at that. I think he's, I guess, if I assume the general populace thinks he's one of the best players in the league, that would make him overrated for me. I don't know. I think he's kind of Damian Lillard-esque. I don't think Portland would trade, you know, Damian Lillard for Kyrie Irving, even though Kyrie Irving is younger.
Okay, this is where I disagree with you kind of severely, is you do that with Dame Lillard.
That's true, yeah.
And, I mean, I think Kyrie is much better than Damian Lillard.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably, I'm not saying Damian Lillard isn't good, but I would, if straight up, like, let's go through the point guards, straight up. Okay, we'll do Damian Lillard, no.
Yeah, I think.
Isaiah Thomas.
I think they're comparable. I would take Kyrie over Isaiah Thomas.
Kyle Lowry.
Yes.
Kyrie because he's 8 years younger.
Mike Conley.
I would take Kyrie because he's 7 years younger. I'm not sure about these ages. 7 years younger. I think those are comparable.
Right.
But again, it's do you want a guy who does everything really well? Or do you want a guy who is elite?
Excels at one spot. Yeah.
If Kyrie is the best player on a team, they're bad. If Mike Conley is the best player on a team, also bad.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. But I don't think Kyrie, best player on a team,
I don't
can
know.
Win 50 games.
But then you have something like Isaiah Thomas where it's like, if Kyrie Irving had Brad Stevens, they might not be bad.
It's true.
And here's the other thing, too, is like we've got our idea of what Kyrie is from before LeBron came, and we've assigned Kyrie's greatness to LeBron, sort of.
Right.
And it's really hard to do that. Well, he'd be better with that LeBron thing because this is the most shots he's taken in a season in years.
He almost outscored LeBron this year.
You know, so it's like, well, usage rate was pretty high as well. I think the wanting to leave thing is clear. I don't know if it's like aspiring for greatness. It might be just personal stuff.
Yeah, that's what
LeBron is seeming pretty pass aggro these days. For me, it's an impossible question to answer.
Yeah.
Because I don't, we have so many different circles that rate things so differently. Like, who thinks he's underrated? I don't think anyone thinks
that's a fair point.
I don't think anybody thinks he's like.
I don't think he's overrated. I think what separates Kyrie from most point guards is there's a lot of point guards who can heat up and score a lot of points, but it's mostly when they heat up from beyond the arc these days.
Right.
Kyrie Irving can score all over you in the paint.
And all night long.
Like, yeah, and it's not like, oh, man, Curry made a couple circus shots today. Kyrie Irving can take you to the hoop over and over
but
and
isn't,
over
it is, But Curry is still the best at finishing.
Right.
Statistically.
Statistically at the
end. He has the highest finishing percentage. So,
But yeah, so the answer is we don't know.
Steph Curry underrated.
Schrodinger's
Steph Curry probably is underrated again.
No, I think he is at this point. I mean, he was ranked below Durant on NBA 2K.
I don't have a problem with that because
I do
because of the height thing.
We
I
think had Steve a Curry, height.
I think Steve Curry even talked about it.
He.
We had a movie question.
Okay.
But we're gonna skip it because Chuck has never seen any movies that aren't Friday or
Goodfellas.
Yeah. What are your three all-time television pilots?
It's a show I only watched the pilot of and didn't watch any more of them. The Shield.
Oh, the Shield. That's pilot on my list. That's
is incredible.
Probably number one.
Breaking Bad.
Can we spoil the Shield pilot? I feel like.
No.
I feel like it's.
Sure.
I think it's the premise of the show.
The show was okay. Like 15
it's
years
an,
ago.
It's an old show. You should watch it. Unfortunately, I think it's only on Hulu right now.
Right.
The Shield pilot gives us a protagonist who murders a cop mm-hmm. at the end of the first episode. Like right. That's the pilot.
Also,
that was jaw dropping.
It also right. gives you a protagonist who really gets murdered by the real protagonist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Keith Diamond is shot in the head
yes.
by what you think is going to be the villain, and then whoa, wait a minute, this show is about the villain.
Right.
So yeah. That's yeah. So that's really awesome.
So, but I think I saw one other episode.
You should have watched all of it.
The last half season of this, like the final season of The Shield, is split up into, you know, like two half seasons or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The final half season might be the best half season of television.
Breaking Bad.
I'm telling you.
Nah, Breaking Bad's
whatever. The Shield ending
the Shield wouldn't
is,
even
so
exist.
Is so much better than Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and The Shield, like, Breaking Bad wishes it was The Shield.
I mean,
Breaking Bad is a more expensive, better directed Shield.
And maybe it's because I was, like, younger then. But, like, I've never been more tense watching a TV show than the last however many episodes.
Breaking Bad pilot is straight fire,
The
Shield.
The Breaking Bad pilot's
amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, so my top three. So those two, The Shield, Breaking Bad. I don't know. I think.
Mine are lame, besides The Shield, are pretty lame.
You know what got me first episode?
What's that?
And I wasn't going to watch the rest of them, but I got hooked. Because it was on after that show, Heroes. Remember that show, Heroes?
Yes,
oh,
I do
remember
that show, Heroes.
Friday Night Lights, first episode.
Friday Night Lights is incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. But that's
directed by Peter Berg, the director of the movie.
Oh, yeah, so that show was just so much different than the movie in a way, but like it just brought me into
got the explosions in the sky ringing out.
Yeah.
Oh, wish that had never happened.
The TV show had fake explosions in the sky.
Potentially.
They eventually just said, hey, we don't need to pay a
band to do
this.
Can ring out that cord.
Yeah, right. This is easily eight.
All right, Chuck's is...
Shield, Breaking Bad, and Friday Night Lights?
I think it was Shield, Friday Night Lights, and Basketball Wives. what was yours, Keith?
You know, I was going to say... I was going to say The Shield, but if we all say it, that feels boring.
I'm saying it. I think you all are going to cover my bases.
I like the Deadwood pilot just because I love that series.
I love Deadwood, but I don't think it's a very good pilot.
The opening, just the opening scene of Deadwood struck me with a...
What am I watching?
Why did no one tell me the show was on? Because I watched it after it was already off the air. And I'm like, Timothy Oliphant is like, you're not going to hang this man. I'm going to hang him legally.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, this show... is incredible.
For some reason, Deadwood and The Wire, I feel like it takes like three or four episodes to hit its stride.
Yeah, The Wire, The Wire, I was very confused.
Even though they have great opening scenes.
But The Wire's opening scene was just that thing.
It was too much where I
couldn't
follow it.
No, it brought me in. Like, the conversation made...
Yeah,
just,
that's America, man. Snot
Boogie. It's some Snot Boogie. Some guy comes out with, like, that whole thing. He said, why'd you let him keep playing if he kept robbing the dice game? He said, it's America, man. Like, that to me was, like, just... it brought me into the show, and it was so real. That was probably my favorite opening scene.
I think it's funny that we always cited it as so real, but I really think no one would ever say that, ever. But
I think
no one would ever say that. I think no one has said it. No one ever will. maybe Mark Twain.
I don't care.
Lost. Anybody? No, Lost?
I'm good.
I never watched.
I watched it, and I like, this is stupid.
The pilot is incredible.
It was
now
so
Lost
stupid.
Does go off the rails, and it is stupid, but it's really cool. Pilot
this is
cool.
This is some recency bias.
Yeah.
And I did not like the series.
Oh, Westworld? I got you.
I thought the Legion pilot was an incredible standalone movie. Yeah. I highly recommend just watching the Legion pilot and not bothering with the
Ozark.
Series.
Yeah. Ozark, the
so that's
first,
like Breaking Bad with rednecks or something?
Breaking Bad with accountants.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Is that written by the guy who wrote The Accountant, by the way?
I don't know.
I think it is.
It might. But yeah, it's Jason Bateman is...
Oh, Hard Pass.
Hard Pass.
let's do a few more of these. A few more of these.
We're going to do...
croissant questionnaires.
In fact, this is going to be the final one, so okay. Let's make it a good one.
All right.
From Matt Sullivan, which NBA players would make for the best trio in Olympic 3-on-3? I assume we're going current day, present day NBA players.
And FIBA rules?
Current day FIBA rules. Are we bound by countries? We're trying to form the best American team or is the best team?
Golly.
I think we have to stay with the rules here. So an American team would be the best team. Sorry, everyone else.
Yeah.
I feel like 3-on-3, though. I mean, we could get it. I don't know. Maybe there'd be a chance.
Do you feel like...
Giannis Antetokounmpo and Spanoulis? And
Feta.
Is my boy Fosa still playing? Is Antonis Fosa still playing?
Where's Furkan play?
Oh, Turkey.
Oh, there we go. Turkish team.
Furkan Aldemar.
Former Furkan Wall.
Furkan Korkmaz.
Yeah, I think...
We mentioned a Montenegrin player earlier. Is he still around?
Curry, Durant, LeBron.
Done.
Shut it down. Yeah.
So, this may be a really stupid question. Do you think... having a big man on your team in 3-on-3 even makes sense?
Not with those.
I got Durant and LeBron.
Both of them are the two
I feel
best.
Like Anthony Davis could be kind of a game changer in 3-on-3.
I think.
Because he can run with
just
anybody.
Push him out of bounds. Have you watched the Big Three? The referees are incredible.
This is not the Big Three.
No. They make a few squirrely missed calls, but they let contact go. Anthony Davis and those rules with LeBron just pushing him out of bounds every play?
I could see it.
Give me LeBron.
Nah, I think it's, you got so much diversity with LeBron. And
so what'd you do, Curry, Durant,
I
LeBron?
I went Curry, Durant, LeBron.
Yeah. Let's see what you think.
Shout out, I mean,
Chuck.
Run them against Westbrook, Kawhi, and Boogie, if we're doing 3-on-3.
Yeah, or Giannis.
This is so
Westbrook,
good.
Kawhi.
Kawhi, Giannis, Harden.
No,
we can't use the Giannis.
Yeah, Kawhi, Westbrook, Giannis. That would be a fun game to watch.
I feel like you might need a bigger guy.
But I don't think your shooting is going to suck with Giannis.
How does Giannis work in a 3-on-3? I feel like Giannis is better. Like if they made the court longer,
Giannis wins.
Giannis would be even more dominant.
I feel like right now,
Giannis's ceiling is being capped by the length of the court.
Right.
Like if it was like a football field,
yeah,
a soccer pitch, Giannis would be the best player in the NBA.
No, but
like in soccer, you make it any width you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could think of many all-time teams that could be. Curry, LeBron, and Durant.
You go Jordan, Bird, and...
Maybe.
Admiral?
Maybe.
Shaq?
Hakeem.
I mean, you can shoot at all three.
Kareem.
Threes at all three
positions.
I mean,
Hakeem played for the Dream Team, right? He was a naturalized citizen.
He got naturalized. I think that was 2000. Yeah.
He was a Dream Teamer.
Or 96.
No, he was a second.
It's Dream Team 2, right?
The Joe Dumars.
Oh, yeah.
The Joe Dumars years.
Yes. I have those McDonald's cups.
Mm.
Well, there you have it. We went with the most boring possible answer, but probably the correct answer.
You want right?
Who's going to be the best big three player in the next 3 years?
Rashard Lewis.
And I got this answer. I actually was listening to another NBA podcast,
Dion Waiters,
checking it out, the Round Ball Rock podcast.
Still going to be Rashard Lewis.
They brought up the right answer. I think Jamal Crawford is going to be the MVP of the big three.
Ty Lawson. He just went to China. Ty Lawson.
They're going
to
be building statues.
I don't think Ty Lawson's that good.
He's also probably he's probably in an opium den right now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've watched 4 Sacramento Kings games from last year in the last week, scouting Tyreke Evans and Ben McLemore. Well, I got to say, shout out as a final closing, now that the questionnaire is over, Grizz epilogue closing, McLemore breaking his foot. Grizzlies have two broken feet every year. Like 4 years in a row?
What are they doing? Like, they need to hire better staff. Everybody gets hurt all the time. Like, they need to
quit signing bad players.
You know.
It's all right. Wayne Selden will protect.
Talking about players after their playing days, what they'll do. I read, do you guys know Wilt Chamberlain when he retired from the NBA?
Had sex with 1 billion women? Yes, I did.
Played professional volleyball?
Best player in the world. Best volleyball player in the world.
In the world.
Wow.
Well into his 40s.
Will Chamberlain's amazing. Never forget, 1 year he was like, I'm going to lead the league in assists.
Yeah. And did you
enjoy?
In 1 year said, I'm not going to foul out. And just didn't foul anybody.
And there was a quote that he said about Jordan's greatness in the 90s. And he basically was like, hey, when I played, they changed the rules to hurt me.
Yeah.
And they changed the rules to help him. And like the hand check, going away was basically the Jordan, like, let Jordan play rule change. And yeah, he's got the point.
Gronk spike. Historical Gronk spike.
It's a historical Gronk spike. Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, thank you guys. Thank you to the listeners again, the Patreon supporters who contributed questions for the croissant questionnaire. If you out there listening want to contribute questions to one of the next croissant questionnaires, you have to go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. You guys can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at fastbreakbreak. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being GNG. Fast break, man. You understand?